morning, birds. What's that in the air? It's snowing in Chicago. Birds, as you know, when it snows, I like to break out the bongos. There's a new vaccine a-coming from AstraZeneca. The problem is, we don't know when-ica. And how about Moderna? Are they going to try to burn you? That's why the FDA is here to learn ya. Now, get your dose from the wonderful folks that are older and wiser. The folks at Pfizer. Hey, before you get the virus, come on and try us. Down the house, Ed. We're to warm things up. Talking heads. It is snowing in Chicago as we go on the air this morning. It's 5 after the hour. And hello, I am here to tell you that it's winter. 16th of December here. Well, it's upon us here. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Pleat.network. And we have a program for you today. We actually do. We're going to talk about phobias later today. You got a phobia? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know about one that you might have. We're going to run that down today. And a look at all kinds of news here. Topping our news here today, the FDA said Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, geez, I can't write the jingles fast enough, is safe and highly effective, raising hopes that the agency is going to grant it emergency authorization by the end of the week. So, and they're off. Mitch McConnell, God bless him, has finally returned to sanity. He congratulated Joe Biden on his win and warned GOP lawmakers against continuing to contest the election results. Woo-hoo! Joe Biden, president, former presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg is the new Department of Transportation secretary. How about that? I like that idea. Buttigieg will be the Secretary of Transportation. President-elect Biden also expected to tap former EPA Director Gina McCarthy as White House Climate Change Advisor and former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm as Secretary of Energy. I like all that. And speaking of weather, if you've got any friends in the Northeast, you want to look in on them. A powerful nor'easter is expected to strike the East Coast today. Those are vicious. So, all right, we're going to hunker down here. What else? A big happy birthday to Ludwig van Beethoven. it's Ludwig and Walter, a mashup. I'm sorry. You folks that are classical music buffs, I am so sorry. I did everything but pull out the bongos. That's the London Symphony Orchestra, along with a cat. His name was Walter Murphy, who did a song called A Fifth of Beethoven, and we mixed those two together on Beethoven's birthday. It's 11 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. I had too much coffee. I did. Fortunately, Aaron the News Baron is up, and he's going to settle me down. Morning, man. How are you? There he is.
Hello. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. Is it snowing where you are? You're a little bit south of me. It's coming down good, yes, on the north side.
I see a few little white specks coming down. Nothing too crazy yet.
Yeah. Is it snow or pieces of paper? Do you know? Yeah.
Maybe it's confetti.
I think so. So listen. I am leading off here. I wrote down the word vaccine deniers today. So what about it? Well, we got the big news of the week here was going to be the vaccine. And then yesterday I saw a survey from Kaiser, I think, that a fourth, 25%, one out of four people in America do not want to take the vaccine. Did that surprise you at all when you saw that?
See, this is a very layered conversation, along with a lot of conversations we have. But no.
Really?
To answer it bluntly, no. Well, because I think when I was really thinking about this one a lot, actually. And I realized that we talk to people who actually deny or think that the COVID vaccine is a hoax. When you talk to the individuals, it's not just the COVID vaccine with Bill Gates and all that. It's they're skeptical of the influenza vaccine. Medical profession in general. They're skeptical of medications and Western medicine. You vaccine hoaxing or vaccine deniers is a Western thing. Something that really only exists in America and elsewhere. But I think there's two parts to this. One part is that there's a distrust of the medical field. The other part is social media, in large part. And I was reading this article the other day, and it was talking about how they followed a group of mothers, new mothers who just had babies, and were getting into making their own baby food. And they found that as they were, making their own homemade baby food and joining new Facebook groups and looking up YouTube videos, these platforms would start suggesting things like, well, if you're into homemade baby foods, maybe you're into an alkali diet.
An alkali diet?
Yes.
What is that?
No clue. It doesn't exist.
Really?
Sorry.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. If you'd like to lose weight, don't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Okay.
But nonetheless, these platforms are pushing people more, like if you're interested in making food for your baby, maybe you don't think your baby should be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Maybe you should. Here's a suggestion for a group of mothers who don't believe their babies are vaccinated. You join this group, and then you get pushed deeper and deeper and deeper down this rabbit hole that people find themselves in, where they realize, oh, wait, the vaccines are a hoax, all the medicines are a hoax, and then you just kind of go down this road towards this place you end up at.
This is Aaron Mittens, Aaron the News Baron. Aaron, I have a reason to call up Dr. Paul this week. And ask him about, all this stuff. But the last time I spoke to him about this, and he said, he reminded me, he said, there are people that don't get a polio vaccine, right? There are people all over. And listen, not to point the finger at anybody, but a couple of groups, one of the groups that they spotlighted in the vaccine avoiders, the vaccine deniers, were not only Black people, but I just pointed at this man here, but I'm pointing at myself, rural whites, the folks that I grew up around. And I don't exactly get that. And a lot of them are, this goes back to this whole anti-vaccination thing where they think it's this and that. And I looked into that. There's absolutely no evidence for any of that. You should get your kids vaccinated. That's it. Period. Period. Mm-hmm. Stop. So to that extent, this is just a continuation of that, but
exactly. Yes, so when you say continuation, that is exactly it. Newton said it best: an object in motion stays in motion. until the forces acted upon it. So you see, the groups that are most likely to be vaccine deniers are groups that historically have been underserved and have had less access to healthcare in general. And for instance, I think about my mother when I think about this. She's kind of on the fence about the vaccine.
Is she?
Yes. Well, she's a very logical person.
All right, well, go again. I'm curious. I'm sure I did not know her, but I'm sure she's a bright lady. If she's your mom, what is she thinking? What are the issues that she's considering?
So when I talk to her and I try to dig deeper and find the deeper rooted causes for it, she's had 4 children, and when she talks to me about it, she talks about how her experience having those children interacting with those doctors was a very negative experience. And this is an experience that many Black people and many Black mothers have, where, you know, their pain is, it's assumed that they can take more pain. It's assumed that when they're asking for medication, they're just trying to get drugged up. It's assumed, like, she literally says when she walked in, she could see the eyes, she could see the size, like, oh, here's another one type of situation. And I've had experiences myself where I would try to explain, I consider myself fairly eloquent. I would try to explain to my physicians, my primary care physicians, certain symptoms that I was feeling. I would get cut off mid-sentence saying, no, just tell me your, like, just kind of this overall feeling of this emotion of, let's just get this on. Let's get on with it. You know? And I think that, you know, this is, so I was looking up some statistics basically on this to see if there's a more systemic, you know, problem here. And I was going looking at the childbirth thing that my mother was talking to me about. And I found that a study out of George Mason University analyzing 1.8 million childbirths between 92 and 2015 showed that the Black child mortality rate was 3 times higher amongst white doctors.
My God, really?
It dropped by 39% to 58% when Black physicians took over. Wow. So you've seen that there's not just some COVID kind of shined a light on the fact that there's a disparity in healthcare access, but also a disparity in the healthcare people get when they have that access.
I don't want to be a racism denier. That really shocks me. That really shocks me. Not that it's like racism, but when you get the medical community, it's not supposed to be any of that. I guess that's a myth. Wow.
Well, see, and that's the tricky conversation, because then you assume that, well, if there's racism happening, where are the racists? And that's usually where it goes. And I think as a society, kind of zooming out past the vaccines, past all of this, you have to understand that attacking racism as an action versus racism as a person is more important, because you can be a well-meaning person who doesn't think that you're acting on hatred or whatever, but still do things and have blanket assumptions that you've never checked that could come out in the results, you know?
Yeah. Geez, wow, my head is spinning here. With any luck, my sister is listening to us in Texas, and she and I have someone in common called Mom, and my mother was a nurse. And my mother was, of her generation, a fairly racist person. I don't think intentionally. But she worked in Gary. And I think the first African-Americans she ever worked with were Black nurses. And to talk to her, that's kind of where the racism stopped. You know, I think she could get beyond that. But apparently not all the people in your study there. I feel that way.
Yeah, and I do think a big part of it is, I have to say it again, and I hate to try to draw this parallel, but when I think about this alone, this is the best way I can imagine it. When you think about vegetarians or vegans, right? There are people who only eat vegetables, and that just is what it is. Then there are people who are normal people. They eat a salad every now and then. They have a cucumber, you know. So there's like this gradient. There are racists, then there are well-meaning people who have not a single racist bone in their body, who may act on racism or hold certain beliefs that can be racist or hold certain biases that are unchecked and up subconscious that can be racist
without
being a blanket hateful person who has ill intent or malice in their heart.
You know, I used to be a vegetarian. Did you just say, normal people have salads too? Is that what you just said? 20 after the hour. Barr quit finally or something. Yes. What, did he resign or did they duct tape his mouth and shove him outdoors?
Well, the story is, so Trump actually tweeted that Barr had resigned. They had a meeting apparently it was amicable, and the story coming out is that neither side is saying that Barr asked to be resigned or was asked to resign.
Yeah.
So it seems that they found that he had served his purpose, and this is right after the Electoral College had
Yeah.
voted. So.
I have something over here that served its purpose. It's the, and I'm done with it. So there he goes. And hang on. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. There's a Star of Bethlehem. Aaron, is that
Yes.
right? Put on your Aaron the Science Baron hat here. We have a Star of Bethlehem coming up again.
Yes, we do. This one's really cool. I actually didn't know too much about this. So, people who are into astronomy or who, look up in the sky a lot know that you can see Jupiter and Saturn most of the time, and they're usually right next to each other. And so coming up and on
21st, right?
on the 21st, you're going to see basically they're going to overlap. Jupiter and Saturn, there won't be two separate entities in the sky. They'll look like a bigger star or bigger or like an elongated star, so to speak. And it'll be the closest observed, or they'll be basically 0.1 degrees apart from each other. So because they're so far away, it's indistinguishable. They look like the same object. Closest since the 1226, they were
So if
saying
you
this.
take 1226, since it's like eight, it's like every 800 years, is that right?
Yes, yes.
And this was what we think was the Star of Bethlehem, was this thing. Wow.
Yes. Very cool.
I'm looking for a wise man joke here. I just can't pull up one quickly enough. Before I let you run, how's the sourdough starter?
Yes. So, unfortunately, I forgot to feed it the other day.
No.
But it's going pretty good. It's still on the rise. I've kind of come to the place where I'm going to make it a much thicker solution. I made it more like a cake batter, but now I'm going to keep it a lot thicker because apparently you can have it, you don't have to feed it as often. You can keep it there, have a longer shelf
I'm
life on.
laughing. I'm thinking this isn't a, this is, it's like a pet. Yeah. I came home.
Yes.
I came home. It was so pissed off that I hadn't fed it. It started. Here in the News Baron, I will talk to you later today.
All right, talk to you soon, Gary.
See
See
you,
you later.
man. Bye-bye. Oh, little town of. gotta get up and get down. I played Stevie Wonder every morning, and only Stevie Wonder I think would be all right. It's called I Wish. It's 28 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on the Bleat.network. Still snowing here in Chicago as we go on the air. I hope you're doing okay, and I hope you're bundled up. If you, as I mentioned, got friends in the Northeast, they are having what's called a nor'easter. You know what a nor'easter is? We lived through a few of those when I lived out there. It's just a big winter storm that comes out of the Northeast. It is very tricky, and somewhere out there you're gonna have some power outages, and it just gets tough. So anyway, let's look out for each other as we go through this Wednesday. A day in which, let's see here, interesting things in the news. It is Beethoven's birthday. I mentioned that. Beethoven would be, let's see here. Wow, 250? Is that right? Wow, jeez. Time flies. He was born on this day in 1770 in Bonn, Germany. Shirley Temple on this day in 1950 announces that she was retiring. She was 22. Shirley, you gotta love those old movies. I read somewhere, I think Shirley Temple was actually, I think she was the number one highest paid movie star in like 1939. She was cranking them out. On this day in 1985, as I queue up, well, I'm going to queue this up for you. Jimi Hendrix had his first single to hit the charts in the UK. We're going to hear that. That happened on this day in 1966. 1985, John Gotti assumed leadership of New York's Gambino crime family after ordering the executions of Paul Castellano and Thomas Bellotti. Who's John Gotti? Well, John Gotti was... See, when I lived in New York, John Gotti was as big as Tony Soprano and all the other people. So the thing is, I used to do a routine... I was doing stand-up comedy and how I was in trouble with the IRS. And that one thing, you know, you're really not allowed to owe money to the IRS or John Gotti. So I'm doing this routine. I went out to New Jersey and I was doing a lunch thing out there. And I walked in and, you know, I walked into a bank and they said, could you borrow some money for us here and pay off the IRS? I said, no. You can't owe money to the IRS or John Gotti. So anyway, the woman who owned the club came up to me and she was white-faced. And I said, what happened? The jokes weren't funny? She said, John Gotti eats lunch here.
Around with another man. Go down to shoot my lady. You know I caught a mess around with another man. I know that ain't too cool. Hey Joe, I said, I heard you shot your woman down. You shot her down. Around town.
War song, anti-violence song, anti-gun song, something. That was the first record that made the charts in the UK for Jimi Hendrix on this day in 1966. It's 34 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. Coming up next week. Wow, oh, is this possible? Yeah, a week from tomorrow's Christmas Eve. We'll kick it off the 21st, I think. Is it Monday? I believe it is. One, two, three, four, something like that. We'll do our winter solstice program. We will look for the Star of Bethlehem. That should be good at 9 o'clock in the morning. And our Attorney General, Eldon Ham, will join us. Eldon's going to wrap up the year. A working lawyer, a law professor, and a friend of the show. In fact, he was our first guest. And he'll join us on Monday. We're going to talk about what's cooking. And maybe maybe by then we'll have settled the election. We can move on. So that is coming up. Now, you know, one of the things on this show, we let our minds go. Sometimes they flow freely. We exchange experiences. We think of stuff. And the other day I was hanging out with Microphone Jones, MJ. MJ is a big guy. MJ looks like he plays football. Actually, he does play football. I'm a pretty big guy. I don't look like I play football. I look like I used to, but I gave it up. Anyway, we're sitting there talking, and something came up. I know what it was. There was a light bulb out in the studio area up here. And both of us were like flipping a coin to see who gets on the ladder because we both had acrophobia. And that got me thinking about phobias and stuff like that. So I thought what we would do here, we'll run these down just a little bit for you here. You know about arachnophobia? Arachnophobia is the fear of spiders. You know about that? It goes beyond the desire to kill one when you see it in your home. People with arachnophobia will avoid places where spiders might be found at all costs. And let's just see if we can... I have some spider music here. I don't think we're going to have that. You'll have to imagine your own creepy stuff. How about ophidiophobia? Fear of snakes. I got that. This can sometimes be confused with herpetophobia, which is a fear of reptiles in general. But people with ophidiophobia are especially afraid of snakes. Acrophobia. We talked about acrophobia. Aerophobia. People who are afraid of flying. Wow, it goes on and on and on. There's something called trypanophobia. Fear of injections. And then there's something called, what is this called? Glossophobia? Do we have anybody in the area that suffers from glossophobia?
Anyone? I thought I would try to tell you today about my own personal experience with glossophobia. Now, one thing that is worth mentioning in the beginning is that glossophobia is the fear of public speaking. And along with that fear also comes a lot of physical symptoms. So, let's get into it. When I was in college, I had to give an oral presentation. Now, in giving this oral presentation, I practiced the nights before, you know, just like anybody at that age does, in front of my teddy bears with a very beautifully made PowerPoint presentation. So needless to say, I thought I was ready. By the time I got up there, the one thing that I remember first was just sweat. Sweat pouring down my forehead. And, you know, me wiping the sweat and people looking at me like, oh my gosh, she's sweaty. I was. And by the time that I had to open my mouth, well, I had one of those moments. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I just absolutely forgot everything that I was going to say. So I was, first of all, I was already stumbling through my words. And combined with that, I started to feel my knees grow extremely weak. And I just felt like I had to take a seat because I just couldn't stand there. I felt it extremely hard to try to make eye contact with my audience, which was hard because I know that that's something that you're supposed to do when you're given a presentation in order to give it in a convincing manner. Well, I couldn't do that. Anytime I would look at my audience, I would kind of just feel this eerie, ominous type of silence where it just made it worse because I started looking at people's expressions and it started to affect me. So I went through about 3 minutes of wiping my sweat, trying to keep my balance, trying to kind of come up with stuff on the fly because I forgot everything that I was going to say. And I also needed a drink of water because my lips got extremely dry throughout this whole excruciating process. So that was a little bit of a look into my glossophobia experience. I was ready. I just let my fear and my anxiety overcome me. And it was not a pretty sight.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train. Ooh, ooh.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on. Good friends too, 'cause it's getting nearer, and soon we'll be with you. Come and join the living, it's not so far from you. been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a beast train. Oh, beast train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, beast train, sounding louder.
Ride on the beast train.
Come on, the beast train. It's beast train, holy roller.
Everyone jump up on the beast train.
Cat Steven and the Peace Train. I would get your heart rate back to normal after your attack of phobia. I think this is all very interesting. I just looking here. I mentioned fear of snakes. Come on, what's wrong with that? You should be afraid of snakes. Fear of heights. Fear of flying. Fear of dogs is called cynophobia. I did not even know that there was an actual name for that. C-Y-N-O. Cynophobia. Astrophobia. Fear of lightning and thunder. I mentioned this. Trypanophobia, which affects 10% of the population. That's fear of injections. And glossophobia. Nicely done by Natasha Rodriguez, our producer. And what was the one that I... know about that was on the thing. Agoraphobia. I thought that was a fear of going outside. I guess it kind of is. It's defined in many ways, generally known as a fear of a situation where escape may be difficult, where help will not be able to reach them in the case of an emergency. I don't know where you live, but every time I go outside or into a store or whatever, it is that feeling of, oh my God, is this happening to me? So, yeah, I think there's a lot of agoraphobia going on. Hey, I think I'll just take a walk down to the store and see some people with masks. I think there is, I think we are in a new era of phobias. So that is going on there. What else at quarter before the hour? Make it 14 before the hour. Please join us on the anything. It's radioanything@gmail.com. It's 844-220-3300 if you would like to leave us a toll-free voicemail. And you know what? I'm going to do one quick thing here. Can I pontificate? Do you mind? I have been lucky enough to work all over the country and honored enough to have people listening to us on the radio. And one of the places that I worked was a place called Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I worked at a radio station called WFNC, which, oddly enough, stands for Fayetteville, North Carolina. Fayetteville is where Fort Bragg is. Fort Bragg is the largest military base in the United States. It has all the trappings of a small city. It's got shopping centers, it's got a barber shop there, social clubs. And it was my true and unadulterated honor to talk to those people at Fort Bragg. I'm sitting here, you know, I'm playing records. I'm thinking these people are packing parachutes there. You know, I'm looking to see if my coffee is hot enough, and they're jumping out of airplanes. Here's why I bring this up. This spring, the YMCA on base, which started a food pantry last year to respond to the growing food insecurity among military families, saw a 40% increase in requests for groceries. These are people who are in the United States military. During the same period, Grocery Request to America Serves, which is a network that helps military families, jumped to the biggest service request in the organization's history. Around the country, it's the same story. Spouses of active duty troops have lost jobs, the same as thousands of other Americans. But the problem is they're often unlikely to be able to find new ones. Children who rely on free or reduced meals at school no longer are receiving them. And military families often have more children than the national average. Michelle Baumgarten, who's Associate Executive Director of the Armed Services YMCA at Fort Bragg, she said peanut butter and jelly and oatmeal requests have soared. Families are going from two incomes to one income is the common thread. What's the ask here? There is none. There is none. I just played Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix, and I was thinking about the years of Vietnam and blah, 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 you know about all that. But I'll say this. We have mistreated our military in the United States. We have mistreated them, and they came back from Vietnam with all these problems. And, geez, we were talking about World War II the other day. The Veterans Day comes once a year. But there are things like that, things like this, that I look at. Really? We have the families of active duty military personnel are hungry? Say it right. All right. What's the point? That is the point. The Defense Department is working on a report to Congress, said Major Cesar Santiago, who is a Pentagon spokesperson. Yeah. You know somebody in the military? All right. Well, we'll continue talking about this. We will absolutely continue talking about that. All right. Jeez, he's on his high horse today. Should we send one out? Let's send one out. Let's send one out to you.
It's hard. Thank you.
I love that one. That's Mamas and Papas. Dedicated to the one I love. I hope you love somebody, and I hope that you have dedicated your day to them, your thoughts to them, your life to them. If you're in that position, you're lucky. It is 7 before the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Wednesday. We're going to blow through this week, and we will get through this year. And then it'll be 2021. It won't be 2020 anymore. And, when I was younger, we're now told to be mindful. Don't rush through your life. And as I look back, I thought, oh, man, I just should have slowed down. I got to say, though, I think we need to make an exception for this particular year. I do. I think that it's okay that we sort of say, yeah, let's move on. Yeah, let's move on. All right. Lots of things that are crossing my desk these days. This is really nice here. A letter writing initiative that sees bundles of uplifting personal notes being delivered to individuals in need of kind words is back. It's 12 days of love letter writing campaign, and you can join in on the action. 4 more days to go in More Love Letters December Drive. And the organization says, we need your cursive to make your cursive. What's cursive? That's that funny thing that they made you do with your hand. That you couldn't print. You had to actually learn how to write. We need your cursive to make this year the most impactful yet. Sign up, and each morning you'll find a new letter request. You'll then have the day to write your letter to somebody who might be feeling lonely or in need of some extra encouragement in the form of a handwritten note. When's the last time you did that? And you can write as many as you like. Everybody taking part sends their letter to More Love Letters listed address, and all those notes then get bundled and passed on to the person on the receiving end of the action. This is kind of like those letters to Santa, only, you know, adults. We told the story of the MML's beginning, that's More Love Letters, with founder Andrea Breckner. Said, quote, I published a simple question on my blog. Do you need somebody to write you a love letter today? And my inbox filled up with heartbreaking stories. She told the Good News Network. One question changed my life forever, and I spent the next year writing hundreds of love letters to strangers in all parts of the world. So that's the deal. It's called the 12 Days of Love Letter Writing, and I think you can still get a part of, get into this here. Yeah? All right. I'll let you Google that. 12 Days of Love Letter Writing. Andrea Breckner. You said what? I was driving. I didn't write that down. Okay, send me an email, and we'll school you. RadioAnything@gmail.com. Well. Wow. Is it still snowing? It is still snowing. All right. I'm gonna go find some Bill Barr notes and make a big fire. You know, tomorrow we may get to this story too. Gardeners unearthed coins inscribed with the initials of Henry VIII's first 3 wives. What? You want to know more? We're out of time. Natasha Rodriguez produced this wide cast from Chicago. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.